This is a Collider.com audio interview.
A blue screen.
Anyone?
Does your character have a lot of backstory at all, or is he?
Yes, I think the whole thing is mainly based on. This is sort of catching him just as his whole life has sort of changed. I mean, the backstory, George and I, right from the beginning, we spoke. That was one of the first things we started talking about. Was he asked me where he was from, and we went backwards and forwards with quite a lot of ideas, but fundamentally, all of his problems stem from when he was a child.
So, is your character one of the guys that kills his brother, or are you a different
character? No. I'm completely separate.
Okay.
Completely separate to all of that. I'm hired to come in, and I sort of find myself in this chaos. But it's more. I mean, all three of us, me, Dwayne, and Billy Bob, we've all got our own kind of demons that we're dealing with, and the whole situation of what happens kind of makes us have to deal with it. So it's quite. It's the backstory, all of the stuff from the past that's coming up, and right from the beginning of the film. So it's fascinating to sort of draw on something like that that you've kind of created.
Do you have a connection with one of the female leads?
Yes, Maggie Grace, who plays who plays my wife.
Okay.
She plays my wife, but then basically it's just me and her in our own little world. Our character is called Lily, and that's basically it. We sort of don't have any connection to anyone else. All three of us have our own separate lives, and then we'll meet.
So your wife's a killer too?
She's not. No, she's just. I met her on a shootout one night in. What we discussed was I met her in Japan on a shootout, and. And we sort of, there's nothing sane or normal about this man. And the same with her, and they kind of work together. I mean, the whole backstory is the killer has sold a software company and made a huge amount of money. And the problem is because he's bipolar and he's never, ever been very stable, there's this kind of thrill, this sort of need to find something that's going to thrill him or find something that's going to excite him, and he finds it in this, and she's very supportive and knows how to look after him and knows how to deal with him.
Nothing turns a woman on like seeing a guy kill somebody.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Everyone wants that. Everyone wants to see someone shoot someone in the head.
So we heard you went to driving school, so
that was amazing. She was there at driving school. It was it was when we first got the movie, and it was the one thing that I said. I was on the phone and I was like, this is great. Yeah, great. Okay. And they were like, and you start? And I was like, when do I go to driving school? And they took me out for a day, and I don't know how. I mean, I'm 23 and I've never driven a car that's sort of, when you go past 60, it starts to shake. So it was nice to actually get in a car that didn't do that.
What did you get to drive?
I got to drive a Ferrari. A Ferrari.
I'm still trying to figure out what that Ferrari is.
It's the silver one. The silver one.
That's what everyone keeps saying.
Yeah,
exactly.
The silver one, yeah. No one really kind of knows. We all sort of be like, yeah, it's... and sort of just keep on moving. Driving school was incredible. Incredible. And the stunts coordinator brought in this guy who'd spent years and years and years driving them. And so he taught me how to do these sort of flips. And nice. It was incredible. Incredible.
How much driving do you get to do for yourself in the movie?
Absolutely none. I'm on a biscuit for most of it. And I sort of pull out of frame. I don't think they trust me insurance-wise, next week we have quite a lot of driving that we're shooting, so I don't know whether or not they are going to trust me and allow me to actually drive the car, but hopefully they do.
What about weapons training?
Weapons, I've been doing 9 weeks of training, 8 weeks of training.
Wow.
And it's, at the beginning it was every day, And it's just to kind of get, I mean, I've never, I'm from London, we don't have guns, like, you guys have guns here. It's insane. And they've got this guy called Chick Daniel, who's incredible, who's one of the consultants on the film. And he works, I mean, he's done, so he works with Tom Cruise for Collateral, and he's incredible, and he's very, well, everyone's been very, very patient. And yeah, we sort of took it baby steps, and then, you know, you start, we did it indoors, and then, you know, you sort of learn how to hold, because the other thing is any minute you can shoot yourself in the foot. So, because we were using live rounds. And then, you know, you step back from a target, and then it got bigger and bigger, and then we started going outside to a range in Santa Clarita, and then shooting from a moving car, and shooting on the run, and shooting. So we did lots and lots of shooting.
Do you feel any pressure sort of holding up this triangle with Billy Bob on the one side and The Rock on the other side? And
of course.
Then, you have to match their intensity.
Of course. It's, any minute now I think I'm going to get fired. Every single day I'm like, well, that's it. I'm just going to get fired today. But I couldn't really ask for a nicer bunch of people to be working with. And from the very, I mean, when I met them, the producers, and George for the first time, we sort of got together with Dwayne, and we did this kind of fake sort of mock-up scene. And he was just, I mean, just one of the nicest people I think I've ever met. And Billy Bob as well, and I was so nervous meeting him, but he was, there's this kind of, we all sort of helping each other out, really. I mean, it's my first, I don't know how I'm here, but it's there, everyone's sort of really helping me through it. I mean, it's incredibly nerve-wracking when you're sort of, you've got to kind of hold that up, and you know, it's three stories and they're all run consecutively, and you don't want your story to suck. So it's going well, hopefully. I don't know.
Is your character this well dressed throughout the entire film?
Throughout the entire film, the costume department have spent huge amounts of money on my clothing, which is very, very nice of them. And they had everything tailor made, and they are just incredible, incredible. And the shit thing is I don't get to keep anything. And not on this suit, but on every other piece of clothing, it's all written handmade for Oliver Jackson Cohen, and I don't get to keep any of it. So but they've done, I mean, we sort of got together right at the beginning, we started talking about different looks and what I thought, you know, where I was coming from, where George was coming from, and then we kind of put together this sort of ridiculous GQ look, which was kind of sort of fitted where he was at, really.
Bipolar GQ killer.
Yeah, well, he's just, I think there's a huge part to him that's sort of OCD, and so I think everything about him has to be sort of perfect, down to sort of his hair. He has to be perfect, because if something's out of line, then everything starts to sort of crumble for him.
So besides shooting at each other, do you guys have actually any fight scenes, like hand to hand?
Me and Dwayne.
You and Dwayne, yeah.
Do what?
Let's not reveal too much.
Let's not. You'll have to go and watch
you
the
make
movie.
Faces at each other. At
yeah, lots of faces at each other. He's hilarious, because when we first sort of stepped on set, he's, you know, this giant. Well, you guys have all met. He's giant. And the first time I met him, I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to shoot this man. He's just like, whoa. So well, there I was. But they shoved me in a gym for 2 months. So I could sort of just about try and match him. But he's, So I won't sort of give it away. You have to go and see.
What was the audition process like for you?
It was very long. It was great. I mean, the first time I got sent a script by my agent. I was, because I just moved here. I was here for like 2 weeks. Wow. And I was like, yeah, I'm moving to LA, yeah. So I got here, and it was like one of the first couple of scripts I read. And I remember thinking, I remember someone saying to me over the phone, oh, it's about a hitman. And I thought, oh, all right. And I read it. And I mean, from the beginning, this, what Tony and Joe have done, and George, yeah, everyone on this has done, is they've sort of given these characters sort of hearts, and they've made them people that you actually can relate to, and that's kind of what really drew me to it. Is I just thought it was, there's this man who's falling apart. I mean, he's falling apart, and you can't not kind of have the compassion for him. And so
I read it and then I went in to meet George, and the first audition was awful because I left and I said, I thought, he didn't say anything to me. He was very, and he's brilliant like that because he'll just sort of sit there and not, and he just goes, thanks. And I left and I thought, oh no, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? So I drove home in like a real panic, and I called my girlfriend and I said, baby, we're going to tape it. I'm going to retape it. We're going to send it off. And I got home about half an hour later, and they called and said, can you come back in tomorrow? So I went back in the next day and then went back in again. And then I flew back to London, and then I got a phone call about 2 days. This was over Christmas. So Christmas was a nice intense, and then they called me and said they wanted me to originally go to Miami to go and meet Dwayne, and then that changed, and then I ended up flying back to LA on New Year's Eve, and we did a sort of screen test, me and Dwayne, and then I flew back on New Year's Eve and landed in London on New Year's Day. It was great. So I spent New Year's Eve on the plane. It was great, but it was totally worth it. Yeah. It was totally worth it.
What's the transition from London to LA been like for you?
It's been amazing. Look at this. See, we see this for about 3 days a year.
Right.
So it's nice. It's very, very nice. Very, very nice. And, you know, everyone's just so friendly. I mean, it really does. It makes me feel so ashamed of the Brits, because we sort of walk around like on this... sort of high horses the whole time, thinking that we're so bloody cultured, but actually we're really not. There's nothing nice about us. So it's been very, very nice. It's been a very nice change to come here. Very nice change. And I don't kind of want to leave.
Now, you talk about this role, you talk about, this is an action movie, but you're playing a bipolar character.
Yeah.
How much research do you actually go into doing that?
Oh, there was a huge amount. I mean, when I first got the script and I started to audition for it, I started kind of researching, and there was a lot of there's another thing that he has, which is he has a leg deformity from when he was a child, and someone in my family actually had the same thing. So I was sort of talking, and it, when you have a trauma that's that bad, it affects you in certain ways. So I started sort of reading up about that, and then when George and I first started getting together and sitting down and talking about it, we've written a file, which I'll show you guys, which is about this big, and it's sort of every single part of him, and it's because it's just, there's so much to him, and his mind races so fast that there's quite a lot of hurt, and there's quite a lot of stuff that he's trying to keep bottled up. And I think in order to sort of understand it, you have to be able to throw yourself into it and understand it yourself. So I made a point of it. Well, we both did. We made a point of trying to kind of get to grips with all of this stuff as much as we could.
So you're like Richard III of hired killers.
You got
the gimp leg with childhood trauma. Okay.
Exactly. And the makeup department have done an incredible job. They do these huge surgical scars that, from past surgeries. I mean, it's really quite remarkable. And the minute they put them on, you kind of feel yourself completely changing. You become this sort of insecure, hyperactive, sort of weirdo.
As an actor sort of coming into this role, and like you admitted that you're sort of like nervous and insecure like doing this, were you able to sort of take that energy and then apply it to the character? I mean, did it sort of help your performance in a way? Or are they totally separate things?
I think they're totally separate. I think, I was talking to George about it the other day. I used to be so laid back and so like easygoing, and this kind of character has sort of, you know, I get home and I find myself like counting, like I'll count grapes and then I'll put them on a side and then I'll go and I'll go and I'll switch the light on once and I'll switch it on twice. So it's sort of, it's completely different, but it sort of creeps in.
So you're going to need therapy after you.
Probably. I'd probably be turned into an alcoholic or something after.
Well, that's a good place to end it. They're going to do one or two more takes and then be able to go to lunch. So we'll go in and we'll walk back out.